Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew today, chapter 4. I'll begin reading at verse 18, and you can follow with me in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, how we rejoice today to be able to be in this place that you've given us. Thank you for bringing everyone here safely. My Father, I pray you'd take everyone home safely. Lord, we just love you for being our guardian and our guide, our protector and our provider. And we're overwhelmed with your provision. And so now, my Lord, as we look into the Word of God on this soul-winning Sunday, I pray that you'd open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of your people, whether here or watching or listening, to receive the Word of God, that it might challenge our hearts and change our lives. I pray, my Father, that you might magnify yourself and glorify your Son. I pray you'd edify your people and save the lost. And I pray, Heavenly Father, your will be done, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we have the calling of Peter and Andrew and James and John. But before I get into the main points of today's message, I want to share just a few brief thoughts that are drawn from this passage. Number one, in verse 18, Peter and Andrew were not interested in fishing for men. They were fishermen. Their fathers were fishermen. And most likely their grandfathers were fishermen. And they were living their lives and doing what they have done every day for years and decades. They had never heard about fishing for men until, that is, when they met their Lord Jesus. Kind of just like us. Number two, Jesus found them, not vice versa. Again, just like us. We were just living our life and going about our normal business, and one day, Jesus walked by and called us. Amen. He found us. We didn't find him. He found us. Right. Number three, men are more important than fish. Now, fish are important. They're important for food. They are important to make a living. These men made their living by fishing for fish. But the Lord Jesus did not come to catch fish. He came to catch men. And he's calling these men away from a good thing and an important thing to a greater thing and a more important thing. Number four, following is fishing. Therefore, not fishing is not following. Jesus didn't say, follow me and I'll make you famous. Follow me, I'll make you rich. Follow me, I'll make you a nice big house. Follow me, I'll make you important. He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't even say, follow me and I'll make you a pastor. Follow me, I'll make you a missionary. Follow me, I'll make you an evangelist. He said, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. He didn't say, follow me, I'll make you a Sunday school teacher. Follow me, I'll make you a piano player. He said, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. And so following is fishing. Number five, fishing requires leaving. Peter and Andrew left their nets. When men or women go fishing, they leave their offices. They leave their factories, their practices, their occupations, their projects, their kitchens, their lounge chairs, and their televisions to go fishing. It says James and John left the ship. They were in the midst. They were in the ship. James and John, it says, left their father. They said goodbye and followed Jesus. I can imagine their father being very concerned, not only for them, but also for his own business. Two-thirds of his partners are gone. His top hands, his two sons. I wonder if he ever tried to talk them out of it. And these same things are true of all fishers of men, all witnesses for Christ, all soul winners for Jesus. The Lord found us, and the Lord has called us, and he called us to salvation, he called us to sanctification, he called us to service, and he called us to soul winning, or fishing for men. And his grace is sufficient for all of it. I'd like to share three observations about fishing for men. Number one, places. There are places to fish, and smart fishermen go where the fish are. It doesn't matter what kind of bait you use if there's no fish where you're going fishing. We had a swimming pool, and our daughters were growing up. We had a pool in our backyard, and it wouldn't do me any good to go fishing in that swimming pool because there weren't any fish in it. I could have had the best equipment and the most wonderful lures and the best worms and all that. I wasn't going to catch no fish. You know, you have to go to the places where the fish are. And how are we going to win souls if we don't go where the souls are? In Acts chapter 4, 8, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." They were all gathered together, and Jesus said, "I got to get you guys out where the fish are. I got to get you out where the souls are." And so they were scattered abroad, and they went everywhere preaching. It's nice that we're here and we're all together, and what a blessing that is. And we fellowship together, and we learn together, and we grow together. But we need to be scattered abroad throughout our area, preaching the gospel. You know, there are good spots for fishing. They're called honey holes, where it's easy to catch fish. Reminds me of my sister Barb when her husband was saved, and he brought her all the way from Hershey, Pennsylvania to my house and asked me to tell her how to get saved. I witnessed to her, and boom, she got saved. Just like that, boom. That's a honey hole there. I mean, that's so easy. There are some times you're going to go to places where people just seem to get saved. There's been times I've led people to Christ, and I'd wonder, that was too easy, you know. They didn't argue with me. They didn't question me. They just accepted it. Then there are unexpected spots. Like one year, a friend of mine told me of a little pull off of the road down by Kinzua. And he said, "You know where that pull off is?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Pull off there, and you'll see a little tiny stream coming down the mountain. Walk up that little stream until you come to a pool." And he said, "Throw a fly in there." I said, "Okay." So one day I was going by there, and I pulled over. I walked up and walked up and walked up, and finally there was a little pool there. I mean, it wasn't even as half as big as this platform. And I'm thinking, whoever goes fishing here? And I threw a fly in, boom, caught a fish. Unexpected places you can catch fish. I remember, you know, places you don't think. I was going to the storefront one day, and just an everyday thing. I went to the storefront, and I walked in, and here's this guy sitting there. Now, our storefront windows had a ledge around them, a brick ledge, and he was just sitting on that brick ledge. His name was Colt. You remember Colt? I said, "Hey," I mean, he looked like a rough character. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He said something. I said, "Hey, do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" And he said, "No." And long story short, I led him to Christ right there on that little thing. Unexpected. I'd gone in there 100 times. I never expected, never saw anybody there before, and never saw anybody there since. It was an unexpected place. Then there are hard to get to spots for fishing. Some of them are deep in the woods, up on top of a mountain, but there are fish there. We might call them hard cases. Just recently, we had an opportunity to to lead an alcoholic man to Christ who his family thought he was demon-possessed. We showed up at the house. Someone asked us to go visit him. We showed up at the house, and one of his family members met us there and wanted to warn us about him. We went in, led him to Christ. But he was a hard case. Sometimes you have to work at it. Then there are fished out spots. You know, everybody's been there fishing. But sooner or later, the fish come back. You know what? Neighborhoods change. People move in, people move out. And you might say, well, I've been through that neighborhood 10 times. We'll go through it again. Then there are the right spots. You know, the right spot at the right time. I lived on Eagle Point Boulevard many, many years ago. And I remember at the end of the street was a little beach, and I'd go down there fishing, and I'm throwing stuff out trying to catch fish, and I never caught a fish. And I had a guy come up from Pittsburgh, and he had bought this great big lure. I mean, it's this huge. And we weren't home, so he said, I went down to the end of the road, and I went down to the beach, and I threw that thing out just to see how it would work, and I caught a great big lake trout, first cast. I said, give me that thing. I went down, and I'm throwing it out. I didn't catch nothing. Sometimes you just need to be at the right place at the right time. I remember a young lady asked me to go visit her uncle, and we went. He was in a nursing home. We went to visit him. And I went to the desk, and I said, where's so-and-so? He said, that's him over there, and pointed to a gurney. There was a guy on a gurney, and he looked like a turtle because he had great, I mean, he must have had 20 blankets piled up on him. He had a tassel hat on under all them blankets. And so I walked up to him, and as I'm going over, the man says, well, don't bother talking to him. He don't know nothing. He doesn't even know you're here. Well, I happened to have a young preacher boy with me who was interning for the summer, and I just said to him, what? Let's go over and talk to him anyway. So we went over, and I went through the whole plan of salvation with the guy. The guy never blinked. He never moved. I didn't even know if he was breathing. But no movement or indication that he even heard what we were saying. And so we got to the end of the gospel presentation, and I said, well, listen, sir. I said, if you'd like to trust Christ as your Savior, I'd like to pray with you. But I have to know that you hear me and that you want to get saved. Can you indicate, can you blink your eye or something? And we saw the blankets start to move. And this little hand came out like this. I took him by the hand. I said, now pray to the Lord. Now he couldn't pray out loud. But he prayed to the Lord. I said, now, if you trusted Christ as your Savior, would you let me know? And he squeezed my hand, then let it go, and the hand went back, and that was it. You see, you have to be at the right place at the right time. Then, you know, there are hot spots. Hot spots are where the fish bite like crazy. My wife and I were, remember that day we were out fishing, Doug? We were out fishing on Doug's boat. I mean, we were catching fish like there was no tomorrow. We were would put the hook in, perch, 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 put two hooks on, two perch. We should have put 10 hooks on. I mean, it was a hot spot, right? Sometimes you find those hot spots where the fish are biting like crazy. One time I was asked to preach at Hershey Boys Home down in Hershey, PA. Well, it's Boys and Girls Home now. And they have like, I don't know, 2,000 or so students that are there. And they have house parents and all these kids live in houses. And there's a house parent, a husband and a wife. And then they have these kids in the house. And so they asked me to come and preach. And I went and preached to them. And the whole place was packed. It was a huge auditorium, probably over 2,000 easy. And I gave an invitation. I said, can I give an invitation? And the man said, well, you can't ask anybody to move. If you want to have them do something else or raise their hand or whatever, that's fine. So I said, all right. So I gave an invitation. I said, now, how many of you would like to trust Christ your Savior and get saved? I'm telling you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hands went up everywhere. I said, now, wait a minute. If you really want to trust Christ your Savior, I want you to stand up. And they stood up and led hundreds of people to Christ. What a hot spot that was. And then there's the best spot. That's the spot the Lord Jesus leads you to. You know, I went into a hospital. You heard, probably heard this story, but I went into a hospital one time to visit somebody, and I was in the wrong room, and I went into the room, and nobody in this bed, and I walk over to the next bed, and here's this little old man laying there in a fetal position, and he was just stark naked. And I said, well, this ain't the guy. And the Holy Spirit said, well, cover him up. So I took a cover. I pulled the cover over him. And when I pulled the cover over him, he moved or said something. And I said, oh, sir, I said, I'm Pastor Alquist, and I'd like to ask you a question. I said, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, no, but I always wanted to know. I said, can I tell you? Please. I led him to Christ right there. You see, that's the best spot. When Jesus leads you to somebody. Turn with me to John chapter 21. Look at verses 5 and 6. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Sometimes it's the same old spot, but just one more cast, just one more tract. I passed out literally tens of thousands of tracts. But yet you pass out one more, and you pass out one more. I was hunting one day, walking up through the woods, saw a man sitting on a stump. I walked over to the man, and I said, well, what'd you see? He said, I didn't see nothing. I said, well, since you're sitting here, why don't you read this while you're sitting? I handed him one of my hunting tracts, and he looked at me and said, well, thank you, and I walked away. He showed up at church one day and told me he got saved reading that tract. There was a woman here last week that visited because Pastor Knight handed her a tract in the Walmart parking lot. Now, he's handed out thousands of tracts. He hasn't handed out as many as me because he's only one-third as old as I am. But what if you just said, well, you know what? I've handed out 1,000 tracts. I'm not handing out no more. The man on the stump would have maybe never gotten saved. The lady in the Walmart parking lot maybe would have never came to church. They had to cast their net one more time. But one thing's for sure, you have to go where the fish are. Now, I'm a hunter, and on more than one cold morning, I've been tempted to stay in my nice warm bed. But I can't shoot a deer in bed. And you can't catch fish in bed. You have to get up and go out to the places where they are. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Acts 8:40, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Luke 14:23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You know what? Jesus wants this house filled. Now, I understand it's empty today, but on the average Sunday, he would like to have every single seat filled. And how are they going to get filled? He said, you go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Listen, we ought to have a compelling testimony. We ought to have a compelling life. We ought to have a compelling story. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. A lot of places. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Fishing for men begins at home. It begins in your neighborhood. It begins in our city. And it can go on out from there to the uttermost parts of the world. But listen, folks, we can support Faith Promise missions, and you do, and you're great, and you're faithful. And I just want to praise the Lord for your faithfulness to Faith Promise missions. But if we can win the world out there to Christ and lose our own neighborhoods and our own city, what have we done? We've given it to everybody else. We're telling everybody else to go fishing, but we're not going fishing. Number two, not only are there places, but there are plans. You know, a good fisherman has a plan. I said a good fisherman, not me. Good fisherman has a plan. Not only does he or she know where they are going, but what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. You know, they have to ask this question, what kind of bait will I use? Do I use worms? Do I use shiners? Do I use eggs? Do I use dough balls? Do I use flies? Do I use lures? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. What kind of bait will I use? You know, different fish respond to different bait and different tactics. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. Paul says, "None of the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Paul said, "Listen, I go where the fish are. And I use the right methodology. If I'm talking to a Jew, I'm going to talk to him from the patriarchs and the prophecies. If I'm going to talk to someone who's under the law, I'm going to work from the law and show them how Christ is the fulfillment of the law. If I'm talking to someone who's without law, that means they don't know God's law, don't care about God's law." He said, "I'm going to talk to them like a Gentile, like an unlearned and unsaved person." You see what he's saying? He said, if I'm going to talk to someone who's weak, in other words, he's not talking about physical weakness, he's talking about emotional weakness, mental weakness. He's saying, "Yeah, I'm going to talk to them. I'm not going to be yelling at them and talking to them real loud and being all pushy." He said, "I'm going to talk to them as weak. But if I'm talking to somebody that I can push a little bit, you know, and be more aggressive with, I'll do that. I'm all things to all men. Why? That by all means I might win some." You need to think like your quarry, you see? You need to think like them. Some fish swim at different depths, hide in different places, feed on different food. Should I use a bobber? Which requires patience. Should I use a lure? Which requires persistence. We need to know what we're doing and how we're doing it. No matter what your plan, you just never know what'll happen, because that's what keeps you going out fishing. The hope and the excitement of finally catching a fish. Now, my wife and I were out this summer, and we always go to this one little place in Misery Bay. And I know why they call it Misery Bay. I go fishing all the time, never catch anything. It's just miserable. And she'll be sitting there reading a book. And I'm like, and then that don't work. I try another one. That would do it. I go through a whole box of lures. I'm not catching nothing. And then finally, you know, you'd think I'd give up. But no, I just keep throwing and throwing and throwing. And then I finally got a bite. And I put it was that big. But I was excited. I got a bite. You know, it's exciting when you lead someone to Christ. You go away rejoicing. One catch makes all those hours and all those casts worth it. Fishing also takes sacrifice, dedication, time, and expense. That's one reason I don't go fishing for fish, because it takes too much time and it's too expensive. You know, you got to buy, now, at least it would be for me. I got to have the right boots, I got to have the right fishing pants, the right fishing jacket, the right fishing hat. Then I got to have all the right fishing lures, you know, and the right rods. So I just don't go fishing for fish. I borrow all my stuff up, Brother Doug. But what if we felt that way about fishing for men? Well, you know, it costs too much money to drive my car and use up that gas. Well, it costs too much money and too much time, and I'm too busy, well, you know, we can come up with all these excuses. And then we wonder why we're not catching any fish. And men are more important than fish. Good fishermen will try just about anything and everything to catch fish. They'll read books and magazines. They'll go to shows and seminars. They'll get the latest rod and the hottest lure. If we would set forth the same enthusiasm and dedication for fishing for men, maybe we'd catch some. When we become fishers of men, we will look for every opportunity to fish. Number three, not only are there places to fish, you got to go where the fish are. Not only do you have to have a plan, do you know how to win someone to Christ? Are you able to communicate to different people on different levels and in different methods? But number three, what about the people? You see, there are two parties in fishing. There's the fishermen and the fish. So let's look at the second group first, the fish. Now, there are, first of all, hungry fish. And these are fish that are ready as soon as the fly or the bait hits the water. Boom! They take it. Why? They're hungry. I led a man to Christ in prison. And he was so ready to get saved, I could hardly get through the plan of salvation. And he just wanted to be saved. He just wanted to have Christ as a Savior. And it was like he was hurrying me up. Will you hurry up and get to the end? I want to get saved. There are hungry fish. There are people out there, like that little old man. They're just waiting for somebody to come and tell them about Jesus. Somebody to come and tell them how they can know for sure they're going to heaven. They've tried this and tried that. They've gone here. They've gone there. They've read this. They've read that. They just need somebody. Tell them how. They're hungry. Then there are nibblers. There are fish. They'll nibble all around the edge of the bait, but they never take it. And you'll feel them nibbling. I got a bite. No, I don't got a bite. They're nibblers. There are people who they'll talk to you over and over again. We had a nibbler when we were down to 8th Street in the park. No, when we were on 9th Street at the parking ramp, the guy that worked the parking ramp next door. And he'd talk to me all the time, ask me questions all the time, but he'd never take Jesus as his Savior. He was a nibbler, you know, until one day he was about to die and he was in the hospital. I went down to see him. And I don't know why he said this, but his wife was there. And he said, "This is the preacher I was telling you about. I told you he was big." He was bigger than I was. But to him, I must have been 9 foot tall. In his brain, he got saved. Led him to Christ just before he died. He was a nibbler, a nibbler, a nibbler. So many times I just felt like I was going to reel him in, and I couldn't, and he wouldn't grab hold. But finally. Then there are spitter-outers. They take the bait, but spit it out before you can set the hook. You know, there are people that just aren't interested. And they might listen to you, but in the end, they just say no. I have a friend like that from college, and it's been like centuries since I've been in college. And we used to communicate every year. I'd send him a Christmas card, you know, and he'd send me some kind of new age mumbo jumbo he typed up. And I've witnessed to him, and I've sent him tracts, and I've sent him cards. Well, he finally, now he still sends me his mumbo jumbo, but with no return address. See, he's a spitter outer. He's saying, no, I ain't interested. And then there's old timers, the big old boss fish. They're hard to catch, but they're catchable. That was my dad. My dad was a hard person to catch with the gospel. Now, I'd witnessed to him time after time after time, and he'd always rebuff me and got indignant with me and yelled at me and promised me he'd never believe what I believe. But one day, the old boss got saved in our little storefront church. You see, they're hard to catch, but they're catchable. So those are the kind of fish we're going after. You're going to meet each kind of those along the way. You go fishing long enough, you're going to meet those different kinds of fish from time to time. But then I want to look at the fishermen. Number one, there are the professionals. The professional fishermen, they have their charter boats. They are the pros. There are guys down at the marina, they've got like 30,000 rods sticking up in the air on their boat. They're the professionals. They've got the sonar, they've got the equipment, I mean, they've got everything. They're like missionaries. Missionaries are the pros. You see, they're not in it for fun, they're in it for fish. And missionaries are the ones that leave their dad Zebedee and follow Jesus. They're the ones that leave the nets and leave the ships and never look back at them. Then there are the sports fishermen. The sports fishermen, you know, they have boats and they have a minimal amount of equipment. They might have a sonar. Someone had taken Pastor Knight now. Remember that? We went out on that fishing that morning. We get there early in the morning and, we're going out on a boat. I mean, I looked at the boat and went, whoa. I mean, it looked like big screen. I mean, his sonar was like a big screen TV, you know. And it had all these lights and stuff all over the place. And we go out in the water and he puts out, how many lines did we have at 20? Like 20 lines out at one time. That's a sports fisherman. Sports fishermen are the soul winners. They're the ones that go out. And they're not just going, they want to catch some fish. So they're going to knock on some doors, and they're going to talk to some people, and they're going to, you know, they're the sports fishermen. And then there's the recreational fishermen. Those are the guys that go out occasionally. That's the average Christian witness. We occasionally hand out a tract. We occasionally witness to somebody. We occasionally mention Jesus. Then there's the novice fishermen. They're the beginners. Those are the ones that need discipled. I remember a man named Alex who was in our church, and he'd never witnessed to anybody. He'd never won a soul to Christ. And so I'd take him out with me, and I'd say, now watch what I do and listen to what I say. And I'd knock on the door, and I'd do it, and he'd watch. And finally, one day, we were out, and I said, all right, this is your door. And he just went, he was scared to death. What? Yeah, you're going to lead. I'm just going to watch. And he walked up and he knocked on that door. A lady came and he fumbled up. He fumbled, mumbled, and he said, oh, you probably don't want to hear what I have to say anyway. And she said, no, I do. He said, you do? And so we stood there and he fumbled through a presentation of Christ. And at the end she said, no. But he went through it. God gave her to him. Here was a woman who was able to listen to him, even though she wasn't interested. God gave him a polite woman. But also, when she said no, it taught him something. Every door you knock on, they're not going to get saved. And everybody you present the gospel to isn't going to get saved. But he presented the gospel. He was so excited when we left there. And then there's non-fishermen. They never go. And they never catch. I'd rather be a fisherman who never caught a fish, but at least I went. I'd rather be a soul winner that never won a soul, but at least I went soul winning. At least I witnessed to somebody. At least I handed a tract to somebody. At least I was involved. The thing is that even world-class fishermen have room to grow and improve. And even world-class fishermen don't catch something every time they go out. And every one of us starts out as novices. And every one of us can learn and move up. And every one of us ought to go fishing at least once. Who knows? You might be the one that gets caught. Caught on fishing. Now, I have a couple of men in this church. I will not mention their names, but I created monsters, soul-winning monsters. There's some men in this church who came to this church, and some of them got saved, some of them came saved, but they were taught how to go soul winning, and now they go soul winning like 24/7. They're always soul winning. They're always concerned about souls. But it starts with one time. It starts with one presentation. It starts with one attempt. And you can be feeble and you can fumble and you can think you failed, but you're one step further to catching. Just cast one more time. Cast one more time. Cast one more time. But you'll never catch if you never go. Let's go fishing. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Christian, do you go where the fish are? Do you step out of the boat and away from the nets? Do you go maybe to a place you're not comfortable? I'm not talking about a place that's dangerous, but may have to step out of your comfort zone. Do you make plans to go? Are you a fisherman at any level? When was the last time your hook was in the water? Does it seem like you're wasting your time? It only takes one more cast, and that might make all the difference. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep witnessing. Keep passing out tracts. Keep going on. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God is looking for a few good fishermen. Why don't you volunteer? Why don't you join up today? Perhaps you're here today, or you're watching and you're listening. You know, men are more important than fish. The Lord Jesus called his disciples to leave their nets and seek the souls of men who were dying and going to hell, to tell them about the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, about how much God the Father loves them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gospel tells us about how much love the Lord Jesus has for sinners. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. There he laid down his life. He shed his sinless blood to pay for your sins. He was buried and rose again so that you could be forgiven and have eternal life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Will you neglect or ignore or refuse such love? You do so to your own peril. For neither is there salvation in any other, For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord Jesus came to earth for you, and he's calling you to come to him. Will you? Is there anyone in this room who says, I need to come to Christ as Savior today? Is there anyone in this room who will say, I need to follow Jesus and do a little fishing or a little more fishing? Would you raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. Yep, all right. I need to start fishing. I need to do a little more fishing. All right, thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your love for us, that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to this earth for the express and sole purpose of saving lost sinners like me and like those who sit before me. Thank you for a fisherman who you sent my way to give me the gospel of Christ. And Father, I pray you'd help us all to go fishing for your glory and for the salvation of the lost. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 579. Maybe you'd like to come and just say, Lord, I need to go fishing for the first time. Or I need to go fishing more often. Or I need to go fishing where I know I'm supposed to go, but I haven't gone. There's someone God wants you to talk to, and you haven't talked to them. Someone he's asked you and moved you to speak to about Christ, and you haven't talked to them. Why don't you come this morning and say, Lord, I'm bringing myself and this person, and by your grace, I'm going to go talk to this individual. Maybe it's your neighborhood. I don't know what it might be, but let's go fishing as we sing number 579.